What is the most important muscle for you to develop in order to become a better runner? Now, there are a lot of muscles that are important to running, but this one muscle that if you focused on, you would have the biggest return on your running investment. What is that muscle? I'll give you a hint. It's not in your legs. It is your heart. Your heart pumps red blood cells filled with oxygen to your muscles that turn it into energy to fuel your muscles. In other words, if you grow your heart, strengthen your heart will be able to take in more oxygen from the capillaries that are coming from the lungs and have more strength to push out more oxygen out to your body, to your muscles, by which your muscles will have more fuel. More fuel, longer and faster go. And so if you develop and strengthen your heart muscle, it will vastly improve your running capabilities. Now, I always kind of knew this, but this became kind of crystal clear to me a couple of years ago. I had an athlete that was on my team, and she had two stress fractures, a double stress fracture. I kind of mentioned her last week. And she didn't have those stress fractures because she was running too much miles. She was running about appropriate miles for somebody of her age and her ability. And it wasn't because she was running too fast. I have our athletes run a certain time in order for them to be able to progress at a healthy pace. There's just something kind of genetic there. But going through that whole process and that healing process, she wanted to keep running. And so talking to her parents and said, okay, well, this is the deal. If she's going to keep running, we got to pull back her mileage by a lot because it's not good for her to get another stress fracture. So we pulled her back a lot of mileage. In fact, so much so that if you were a coach, you would look at her running log, and that any coach would look at a running log, and they would think, there's no way in the world that this girl is going to progress based on the mileage that she's doing. But a little bit that I knew about, you know, the heart and how important the heart is to fueling the muscles, kind of experimented, because I've never done this with any athletes. We're going to do something different. We're going to lower your mileage, but we're going to focus on your heart. So there were certain days where, you know, she wouldn't run. She would lay off on her quad, so that way she wouldn't get hurt. And so but she still did a workout. So her workout went something like this. In the past, when she did run, on those days, she would run about 40 to 50 minutes, and she would wear a watch that had a heart rate monitor on it. And so for those 40, 50 minutes, her average heart rate was about 160 beats per minute. So her heart would beat 160 times every minute for about 40 to 50 minutes. And so what I decided to do is like, okay, this is what we're going to do. You're going to do a workout, and this is your workout. We're gonna work out your heart, so get your heart to 160 beats per minute to 40 to 50 minutes, but you're not gonna be running. Instead, put her on her bike, on her elliptical, where it was, you know, less strenuous on her legs and her thighs, and away she went. So she was doing these workouts based on focusing on her heart. And guess what? She progressed. She ran the fastest 5K that she had ever run, and she was a pretty good runner, so it's a pretty big feat. Why? Because the heart is the most important muscle for you to develop in order to become a good runner. And that's not just true of running, right? We know that it's true of our lives, of our total lives, not just our physical heart, but our inner life, you know, our heart inside of us. That when we focus on working on our heart, we become stronger. Our lives change. But oftentimes what we do is we tend to work a lot more on our intellectual muscle, our educational muscle, our career muscles. We tend to work more on our relational muscles or emotional muscles. We tend to work more on trying to figure out time management and all of these things in order to move ahead in life. You know, financial management, financial muscles. But God has shown us throughout history the greatest muscle for us to work on in our inner being is our heart. Did you know that you can go and if you are an athlete and you just think, okay, wait a minute, most important muscles are legs, so we got to do workouts in order to make these legs go faster because that's how we run and it's how we compete. Let's make these legs go faster. So you go and you do a workout and you run so fast that your heart can't beat enough oxygen to fuel your legs. You know what happens? Instead of fueling your legs, you create waste called lactic acid. How many of you guys have ever done something like, you know, either working out in the yard or you go to the gym or you try to run for the first time and the next day you are incredibly stiff? You know what that is? It's lactic acid. What was happening when you were doing that was you were working out your body more than your heart can pump enough oxygen to fuel your body. And that's what happens. And that's why people, you know, can break down and get fatigued and get injured. But if you focus on your heart, you will grow and you'll get more oxygen to your body by which you'll get stronger. Your body will get stronger and you'll be healthy. Same thing when it comes to our lives. When we focus on other things that are important, just like our muscles and our legs are important to our running, we focus all of our attention on our intellectual pursuits, on our career pursuits, on life hacks, you know, things like that, rather than our heart, then what happens is we begin to develop kind of this waste, this toxicity in our lives. Anxiety, stress, worry. But God has shown us that the number one place for us to work on is not those things as important as they are, it is our heart. In fact, all throughout Scripture, even before Jesus, God would send these prophets, and these prophets would come along and basically say, I'm going to give you a new heart. And the reason why you need a new heart, because you got a heart problem. Because the stuff that you're feeding your heart is toxic, and it's creating this damage inside of you and also through your relationships into society as well. So Jesus came and gave up his life for us to give us a new heart. A heart that would pump the blood of Jesus Christ. You know, the perfect, beautiful love and graciousness of God pumped through our veins and into our lives to make us stronger. Even be able to go through difficult and hard things in a way by which we have strength. A peace that surpasses all understanding. If you go on and read Philippians. A joy by which you rejoice always. All of these things. In fact, when Paul writes this letter, at the beginning of his letter, he said, and this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. So that you may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. So at the very beginning of this letter, this is what he talks about, that he prays for them that, man, that your love would just abound even more, that you would grow in this, because that's when the blood of Christ is pumped through your lives, we become stronger. And this is a guy who is in prison, who's writing these things from his own personal experience, by which, you know, every single day walking out in this relationship with the Lord by which he is soaking in the love of God, breathing in the oxygenated pure air of the love of Jesus Christ that made him strong. By which, as he's in prison, he says, man, people are telling everybody about Christ because of my chains. Well, they're not getting bold to tell about Jesus because he's in prison. They're getting bold because they see a person who has a joy even though he's in prison. They see a man who trusts his God deeply, and the effects of that trust deeply is the strength of his heart and his love for others. And in that first chapter, we saw kind of the secret sauce. To live is Christ, to die is gain. If I lived, I'd live to Christ. Why? You know, because I love him. So if I'm going to live, I'm going to live for the love of God, for the love of Christ. And if I die, it's even better. Why? Because I get to be with Christ. The secret sauce is the love of Jesus Christ in his life. Even when he goes through struggles, he talks about this in that first chapter. He talks about, hey, we're all in this struggle. We're in this struggle together. That's why it is so important to allow God to work on our hearts every single day. And so the most important muscle for us to develop is our heart. And so he says this. He goes on there in chapter 2 in verse 1. He goes on, he says, is there any encouragement? What is to encourage? Encourage means to give courage. What's courage? Courage is strength, right? Is there any strength from belonging to Christ? Remember, we talked about this last week, that during this letter, Paul loves to use this word Christ when he's talking about Jesus. And in kind of a better way for us to understand it, it's a better way to think about it, because we tend to think of Christ like his last name. His first name is Jesus. His last name is Christ. If I was to meet him, I'd say, hey, Mr. Christ. Well, no, it's a title. Christ means anointed, or better understanding is king. So is there any strengthening, any courage, encouragement from belonging to the king? Okay, that you belong to him. Is there any comfort? Isn't comfort strength, right? The comfort, is there any comfort from his love? Do you feel a sense of strengthening of your relationship with him? You know, do you feel a sense of comfort when you just allow him to love you deeply?
Oh yeah.
You know? Is there any fellowship together in the Spirit by which the Spirit reminds us that he is our Abba Father and knits our hearts together in Christ Jesus? Are your hearts, are they being developed by Jesus Christ, by which they're becoming tender and compassionate? If the answer to that is no, then let him encourage you, you know, in your relationship with him. Let him encourage you to know that you belong to the Most High King and you belong with him forever if you are in Christ. Let him comfort you by your love. Sometimes it's the most strengthening thing that we can do every single day is just to say, God, the fuel by which makes my life go today is allowing you to remind me that you love me, to allow you to love me this day, to make my heart tender and compassionate. And so he says, okay, the most important muscle, you know, basically is to allow God to work on our hearts. But here's the thing, we don't do this alone. We do this together. This is something that we do together. We are stronger together. Talked a little bit about this last week. Like even in running, which is kind of an individual sport, when you're with other people that are encouraging one another to get out there, I know it's hard, it's hot out there, come on, let's go run. We'll go do it together. We'll go, you know, cheer one another on. We'll go do this and we'll get stronger because of it. It's the same thing when it comes to our own spiritual lives and our inner hearts. God has put us together in order to strengthen each other, to strengthen one another. And so that is why Paul goes on and he says this, and he writes, and he says, then, all right, then make me truly happy. What would make Paul truly happy? You know, if somebody would ask you the question, hey, here's a trivia question for you. What makes the Apostle Paul truly happy? Well, he writes it in Philippians, and make me truly happy by what? Agree wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another and working together with one mind and one purpose. But there's something that's really important with this. It's to understand, what does it mean to agree wholeheartedly? To agree wholeheartedly with each other is to agree wholeheartedly with each other that Jesus is King. That Jesus is the King that we subject ourselves to, that we follow. That we agree wholeheartedly that he's our King. That also, that we love one another the way that King Jesus has loved us. And that we would work together, okay, as we submit to King Jesus and his goodness and his benevolence and his wisdom with one mind and one purpose. That one mind is the mind of King Jesus. It's the purpose of King Jesus. And Paul says, that's what makes me truly happy. If your hearts are tender and compassionate, that your hearts are strengthened by allowing God to love you and to strengthen your heart, that by which you would then be a people that would come together under King Jesus to strengthen one another, and as Christ is the center of our relationships. And so he goes on and he says, so don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble. Think of others better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take interest in others too. Now, this is important. Like I said earlier, in the running world, when I was a kid, I used to run hard every single day because I felt like if I run hard every single day, get these legs moving, I would become a better runner. But I burned out in that because I thought that this is where it's all at. And in life, there's a lot of assumptions that we get wrong that we believe. We believe that, you know, in order for my life to have value, then I need to look out for my own interests, because who's going to look out for my interests? So I need to take care of myself. And at the same time, you know, I need to kind of let people kind of know that I'm sort of a big deal, all right? That I'm impressive. There's things about me that's impressive, because if I impress people, then they will love me and then I will have value. Then my heart would be full. So the way for my heart to be full is to be, you know, to take care of my own self-interest, to try to impress people so that they would love me. But here's the deal. When I do that and when I'm selfish and all those things that we kind of do because in our inner being, we kind of think that these are the things that really strengthen us, it really creates the waste in our lives. Insecurity that maybe we're not that impressive. Fear of giving stuff up if we don't hoard it or take it. Lack of love for other people because we're too consumed in ourselves. All of these things break down our inner hearts and our relationships with one another. And that's why it's so important that we work together to remind ourselves of King Jesus and his love for us, and that by which we would allow him to be the fuel, allow him to love us, that we would encourage each other, hey, to allow Christ to love us, by which then our hearts grow stronger, our lives get stronger, by which we go and we love even those hard things. And this is why it's so important that you see all throughout Paul's letter that when it comes to unity, this unity thing, it's not about us trying to be unified. It's not about us trying to be strong. It's really about us allowing King Jesus to be the unifier and strengthener of our hearts and of our lives. Christ is central to our unity and strength. It is all about us saying, King Jesus, you are our coach, so we're going to listen to you. Even when we think, I don't think that's really good coaching method. I think this is a better way to do it. No, that we would be people that would say, okay, you're the key. I'm going to allow you to lead. And what it means for my heart to grow stronger, by which nourishes my life, by which there is fulfillment in my life. So Paul goes on and he says this. He says, you must, next verse here, you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Christ is the central focus point. That we must have the same attitude of King Jesus. King Jesus, another way of saying it in our own vernacular today in our society, is the GOAT. That Jesus is the GOAT. He's the greatest of all time. That's why he's the king. That we should have the same attitude as the GOAT. For those of you who, you know, if you've, you know, tried to improve your whatever, athletics or your career or anything like that, I bet you've probably kind of looked around and looked at people and you said, wow, they're really doing some pretty amazing stuff. I think I'm going to watch them, see what makes them tick, why they do this. A lot of times I'll encourage my own athletes to say, man, if there's somebody there that you look at a meet or somebody, and you go, whoa, they are fast. You need to kind of watch them. You kind of need to see what they're doing, see what their secret sauce is. And so here what you see with Paul is basically saying, King Jesus is the GOAT. So we should be paying attention to how he approached life, relationships, his relationships with the Father, relationships with other people, and his own inner life, his own heart, that we should have the same attitude as that of Christ Jesus. And so what is that? So he goes on and he says this, though Jesus was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Getting a little bit of layman's terms, what does he mean by that? In other words, Jesus didn't need to walk around when he was, you know, doing his ministry. He didn't walk around going, hey, don't you know who I am? Don't you know who you're talking to? I am the Son of God. I am the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Don't you know who I am? In fact, Jesus did something that was kind of really weird and different. A lot of times he just said, shh, 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 don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody. Why? Because he wanted his teachings and what he did, his actions, speak of who he was rather than needing to cling on to who he was, right? In the athletic world, you probably have heard, you know, maybe your coach said this, or maybe if you've been a coach, you probably said this to somebody or on your team, hey, man, just let your actions speak. Just be quiet. Be quiet and get your business done and let your business do the talking for you. Well, Jesus was the same way. Jesus was secure in his inner being. Why was Jesus secure in his inner being? Well, you can say, well, it's because he's the Son of God, right? Well, We can have really impressive titles in our own lives, but we also feel this need for people to know those titles. We can be insecure in those things. Jesus was secure because he was secure in his Father's love. The Father's love is what made him go. Not my will, but your will be done, Lord. So love the Father. Though you may leave me, I fear not, for I'm not alone, for the Father is with me. But John said, Jesus did not entrust himself to man because he knew what was in the heart of man. To try to get oxygen from man can lead to toxicity. But the Jesus allowing the Father to love him, to love him deeply, and to live for his love, strengthened him even as he went through the gauntlet. And so Paul kind of makes his point here. So he did not give him, though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, what did he do? He gave up his divine privileges. He didn't need to do the card. Don't you know who I am? Kabam. He gave up his divine privileges in order to love and to serve you and me. He took the humble position of a slave. How did Jesus take a humble position of a slave? It's because he's God. God is omniscient. God is everywhere, can do all things. He humbled himself to become a creature. That's a downgrade. I know, you know, we're human beings. You know, as creatures, we like to think of ourselves as the best and all that. But to God, to become a creature, to be like us, is like becoming a slave, be taking on flesh, the temporal. But again, he did that because he had a strong heart. Because his love by the Father, through the love of the Father, he humbled himself to become a man just like you and me to go and love. And he was born as a human being. But not only that, he goes on, he says this, it gets even better about Jesus. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. So it wasn't even just the fact that he died a really horrible, hard death physically. It was humiliating that, you know, even when he was on a cross by which he's a, you know, people are saying, you're a fraud. You're a fake. You're a sinner, which is all untrue. But in that moment by which most of us, we would feel this sense of insecurity that we would need to prove ourselves to other people. Because, you know, in our lives, we tend to try to get the approval of people to love us. But Jesus, not looking to the approval of others by which he was living for the love of his Father, keep his mouth quiet and love those and give up his life for those who are saying really nasty and untrue and ugly things about him. He was strong because his heart was strong, because his heart pumped the love of the Father. And so he goes on here and he says this, therefore, God elevated him to the highest place of honor and gave him the name above all names, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, that every tongue declare that King Jesus is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Do y'all remember when Jesus said, the least will be the greatest and the greatest will be the least? Here's a picture of it. He who's the greatest of all became the least of all. A humiliated person on a cross. Death on a cross. Out of the selflessness of his love for the Father and for you and I. By which the Father, God, elevated him to this high, high place. So here's the thing, though. This is important for us to understand. Though, you know, Christ is the center. He is the model. We have to understand, though, every single day, we actually really need to kind of work hard at this unity and strength and work hard at letting God strengthen our heart. We are to work hard at developing our hearts in unity. One of the things is that you know, I've seen being a pastor is sometimes we have this mindset, like Christianity is kind of like this runner who kind of this person who's never really run before in their life. And they get up and they go, you know what? I'm a runner. I'm going to go and run. Never trained or anything like that. And they go and they go try to run a marathon. How's that going to end up? That's going to end up really, really bad. Oftentimes what we think is that once I give my life to Christ, all of a sudden, boom, I am just like Jesus, right? How many of you have ever had the shock, like, cool, wait a minute. This whole spiritual growth thing is a lot harder. I just kind of was super excited when I gave my life to Christ, and then life happened, and then all of a sudden, man, this is kind of hard. Well, here's the thing. When we give our life to Christ, we are his for all eternity. But here's the thing. Even this new heart that we give has to learn how to beat this strongly, has to beat the blood of Jesus Christ. And we have to work at it every single day. We can't just say, I'm a Christian, without ever working and allowing God to work on our heart. Paul says it this way as he goes on in this letter here in chapter 2. Dear friends, you always followed my instructions when I was with you. Now that I'm away, it is even more important because I'm there to keep you accountable. You got to work on it. Work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. In other words, kind of the way that we've been talking about here, work hard to show that your hearts in Christ are growing stronger. That every single day that you're allowing God to work in your heart and to make you stronger, to work out your salvation, all right? How do you know when somebody has been working out and has been working on their running? You watch them run and you go, wow. You know, it looks effortless, but if you ask that person, you'll probably find there's a lot of hard work behind that. When it comes to our spiritual lives, it's the same way. We tend to like look at our spiritual lives kind of like we look at marriage. We never think about marriage, the most important relationship in our lives. We never really prepare for it until we get married. Then we get married and you're kind of like, okay, well, how is this supposed to work? You know, it's like parenting as well. We never really think about parenting until maybe the first time. You get pregnant and all of a sudden you're like, oh man, this is real. What do? I'm freaking out, right? It's like all of a sudden, boom, we do this. When it comes to our relationship with God and him working in our hearts to make us stronger, it is something that we work on every single day. Not when we have a crisis. Not when we have the crisis. We don't wait till we have a crisis. Every single day is the opportunity for God to strengthen us. There's no doubt in this crisis moment that God works on our hearts. But every single day, that's why one of our big culture statements here at River Run is leveraging life to know God. That everything about your life is an opportunity for God to strengthen your heart, your work, your relationships, things that you do every single day are an opportunity for God to use those to help your hearts get stronger. It's just like running. You got to go run. It's kind of uncomfortable, but it makes your heart stronger. It's the same thing. It's kind of like, okay, God, today is, you know, over the next however time that I'm awake, today is like a spiritual workout that you're going to leverage this day to help me to grow. So I'm going to leverage it to allow you to make me grow stronger. That's why in James in chapter 1, you read it and it's like really weird. James says stuff like, hey, suffering's great. Why in the world is suffering great? Because it gets you to a place where you lack nothing because you understand that Christ is everything. And that's through that Christ strengthens your heart to not only remind you that to work on your heart is the most important thing for you to work on, but through that work, you begin to grow and become stronger. It's the same thing with Paul. A lot of times we kind of look at scripture and we look at it like it's like super condensed. Paul had been a Christian for quite a while. You know, before that first time that he was in Philippi with Silas, by which he got pummeled and got thrown in prison, by which him and Silas are like singing hymns. That didn't happen just automatically. That was over time of building a trusting relationship with God, by which being intentional allowed God to continue to strengthen his heart. By which in those moments now, he was like a marathon runner, singing hymns to the Lord because he recognized that even though he was in prison, the Lord is with him. That he is loved by God. And as he just continues to soak in the love of God, he can give that love out to a jailer who is about to kill himself, by which he says, no, 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 don't do it. And that jailer gives his life to Christ. It's an everyday work in our lives, okay, that we just allow God, and it's a fun work. It's allowing God to love us and to allow God to strengthen us, allow God to give us perspective. So work hard to show the results of your salvation, that your heart is growing stronger, that that you're growing in a peace that seems weird and odd based on what you're going through, and you're growing on how you love those people who are, you know, are difficult and hard in your life. Shh. Work hard to develop that heart every single day. So Paul goes on and he says this here, and he says, "For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him." What is it that God is doing inside of you that pleases him? You know what it is? That you would find encouragement by belonging to him. That you'd find comfort by his love. That you would agree wholeheartedly together as a family, as brothers and sisters in Christ. That we would come together as King Jesus leads us with one work and one purpose and one mind. These are the things that when we allow God to pump his blood, the blood of Christ and his love through us, that he begins to work these desires within us. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him, to love well in a way that not only strengthens us, but also in a way that is hopeful to a broken world. And this is why here, when you go on and you read this, what you'll find here is that our strength and unity is actually, in Christ, is our influence. It's our influence. You know, how many of you guys have ever done this? I've done this. Or how many of you have ever been put off by other people who, you know, they talk a big game, how good of an athlete they are. Well, this is what I did. This is how good I am and all that. And then, and you've never seen them play. You've never seen them do anything. And then all of a sudden you see them perform and you kind of go, ooh, that's really not that great. You know? So as Christ followers, it's the same thing. We can sit there and shout at the world and say all these things to the world, and we can talk a good game and everything. But when people see us, do they see the same attitude as that of Christ Jesus? Or do they see something different by which they go, ooh, the life isn't matching up to the boasts, the words, that actually our strength and unity is what we need to focus on. We allow God together to build our hearts by which we have the composure in the world that will make us struggle and make us struggle in a way that we see it and leverage it in order to make us stronger in Christ, by which we allow God through that to pump the blood of Jesus Christ to remind us that we are loved and that we're good in the love of Christ, by which makes us stronger to be able to love others the way that Christ has loved us. So Paul goes on and he says it like this here. He says, do everything without complaining and arguing. It's just toxicity. Just breaks down our hearts, breaks down the hearts of one another so that no one can criticize you. Lead clean, innocent lives as children of God. Children of God is another way of code of saying being a child of God is that we reflect our Heavenly Father. Live innocent lives as the children of God is defined by God, shining like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people. Like I said earlier, you know, one of the things I said with my athletes is like, you know, look around and look at people that you see that are doing something really great and just see why they do what they do and go ask them. A lot of times people like to, you know, let you know what it is in their lives that you know, that makes it click. Well, that's the same thing with us. We are to live our lives in a way that allow God to strengthen our hearts by which we just go and we love. No matter what the struggle may be, because we understand the inheritance that we have in Christ and we understand the love that we have in Christ, by which our influence is people coming up to us and saying, why is it that you have joy knowing what I know that you're going through? Well, let me tell you, it's my heart pumps the blood of Jesus Christ and the love of God, that we would be shining like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people. So hold firmly, he says. He goes on, to the word of life, then. That the day of the king's return, I will be proud that I did not run the race in vain and that my work was not useless. You know, one of the things as a coach, when I think about these words here, is you always want your athletes to listen to you. And you know that they will only listen to you if they trust you. And you want to know that they're doing what you want them to do. So that way you would see kind of the fruit of what's happening here. And so Paul, who's kind of like their coach in a way, tells him, hey, man, I'm not here with you. So keep working hard on these things. So that way I know that you keep working on them, that by which the working out of your salvation is known to everybody around you, that you're shining like bright lights all over the place in the way that you love and the way that you have inner strength because of the strong heart that God is making in you, that you're allowing him to do that work in you. You know, keep doing that, please, as your coach. So I know that my work in you is not in vain. That this would be something that we would do every single day. And so, Paul goes on and he mentions two other people. Let's kind of end it here. Two other people that kind of exemplify this. And one of those people that he says that exemplifies kind of this heart attitude is one of the guys that the people of Philippi knew. His name was Timothy. Timothy was there with Paul and Silas the first time they came into Philippi, but he was kind of like a real junior. He just got onto this train, so he was kind of a real newbie. But over time, he developed relationships with the Philippians, and you see at the beginning of this letter, Paul says, hey, Paul and Timothy are writing this to you. So Paul says this about Timothy. Man, he's an amazing guy. So I have no one else like Timothy who genuinely cares about your welfare. The others care only for themselves and not what matters to King Jesus. This guy has the attitude of Jesus Christ. I'm sending him to you, and you're going to take great encouragement for him being there. And then there's another one that he kind of gives another illustration to who exemplifies these ideas and these things and this reflection of Christ. And that's one of their own, a guy named Epaphroditus. This is the guy that the Philippians sent to Paul to be ordered to take care of his needs. He became really sick, thought he was going to die, but he rebounded. The Lord healed him. And then Paul sent him back to the Philippians with this letter that you're reading. And this is what he says to the Philippians to them about Epaphroditus. So welcome him, Epaphroditus, in the Lord's love and with great joy, and give him the honor that people like him deserve. For he risked his life for the work of Christ, for the King. And he was at the point of death while doing for me what you couldn't do from him from far away. So another guy. It's so good when you can have somebody in your life that exemplify these things. Those Philippians had Paul. Those Philippians had Timothy and Epaphroditus. Early on, just kind of more in my ministry kind of years when I was in seminary, I got to sit with a guy who was my pastor for 5 years. He's not a runner. I don't think I've ever saw him run. But man, this guy had a huge, huge heart. His name was Muksu Hue Van Nguyen. He was a pastor of the church I was at, a Vietnamese church, for the 5 years that I was there. He was a little guy about this big, really didn't know much about him. He's a real friendly guy. It was probably not until about a year later that I learned about his story. Never really bragged about his story or anything like that. You kind of have to pull things out of him. And when I pulled things out of him, I learned that this guy was amazing. He became a pastor when he was in Vietnam back in the 60s and into the 70s. We all know that in 75, Saigon fell. And then you saw the communists took over. And so when the communists took over, it's not really good to be a Christian in a communist world. But 1978, he had an Easter service at his house, just in his house, just for some people who loved King Jesus too. But somebody ratted on him, and they told him on the authorities, and he was arrested. For 7 years, he spent in a concentration camp for having an Easter service in his house with just a few people in his house. This is Vietnam. Their houses aren't very big. Not only that, but his wife at the time had two toddlers and a baby, by which then she would have to become a single mom for who knows when and maybe forever. May die in prison. In fact, Muksu, which is Vietnamese for pastor, Muksu, said that probably the easiest day when he was in Vietnam, when he was in that concentration camp, was where he was so sick he had to go to the hospital 7 years. But during that time, he said that his heart just never died for the Lord. It just continued to strengthen and get bigger and stronger. And he was released out of prison. And after being released out of prison, he and his family made his way over to the United States. But still, the love of Jesus and the love for those that he so desperately wanted to know Jesus was so vibrant in his life because of his daily walk in the grace of Jesus Christ in his life. This guy would go back to Vietnam with a suitcase full of Bibles hidden in there to give them back. And if he was going to get arrested, so be it, because he wanted his people to know, who are living in a dark and crooked world, to know the light and the love of Jesus Christ. To be able to sit under somebody like that for 5 years was an incredible blessing in me and a great encouragement. Just as Paul talked about how people were strengthened to go and tell about Jesus in my own imprisonment, I found that his own life was a testimony by which gave me strength to be able to go and love others as he went and loved other people in the name of Jesus Christ. And Mục Sư Huệ, he's no longer senior pastor. He's really old now. But he's still doing podcasts, doing videos, still preaching Christ to his fellow countrymen, so they would know Jesus Christ. That comes from out of the strengthening of our heart to allow God to love us every day and to strengthen us every single day. That doesn't mean that you got to become a pastor in order to be able to do that. Because back in the day of Philippi, there was still Lydia, who was a businesswoman, and there was a jailer and their families. We see that even after Paul died, the movement of Christ continued to grow. You know why? Because people just like you and me just said, hey, what if together we allow God to do some work in our lives to strengthen our hearts by which our hearts would pump more of the blood of Jesus Christ? So that way we would be nourished, we would get stronger, and we would become a bright light and encouragement to the world. I encourage you every single day to take a decision today. Today is the day that every single day I'm going to focus on the most important muscle in my body, and that is the heart that God has given me in Jesus Christ, and it will change your life. Father, I thank you so much for the work that you've done in my heart. It is not a perfect heart, but it is a heart that is getting stronger, and I thank you so much for that. That's your work in my heart. I thank you so much for my brothers and sisters who are in my life who encourage me, by which strengthens my heart. God, I pray that we would just continue to be a people that every single day make a decision, a simple little decision. Doesn't have to be, it's not hard or difficult. It's just an everyday decision to say, God, today I want you to use this day to grow my heart a little bit more, and to use my relationships and to use my circumstances to grow my heart a little bit more, that you would use me to help my brothers and sisters to grow their heart a little bit more. It's in your son's name I pray. Amen.